It's time to awaken your inner traveler and zip around the world as money is sent to the people who rely on it. This is Money Travels, presented by Visa. I'm Indre Viscontis. Hilda Tama is a college access assistant for a nonprofit in San Francisco, but she grew up in rural Guatemala, and she and her brother still send money back to her remote hometown.
We are a pretty big family, and we basically grew up very far from the city. I guess we would be considered like peasants, like working the land and just growing like potatoes, corn, wheat. We were basically sustained by whatever we could grow there. So it was just very difficult growing up until my older brother decided to immigrate to the U.S. I don't know how old I was. Maybe I was like 8 or so. But I definitely saw a change after that. It kind of opened up more for us and more possibilities and like a better quality of life for sure. I came to the United States when I was 16. Now I'm 27. So it's been like almost 11 years now that I'm here. And I feel like what is very significant to me is that when I was back home, I had no way to help my family financially because I was dependent on them. And for a woman, it's like you are gonna grow up and then you're gonna marry, you're gonna have kids, and you're gonna accept whatever it comes with. And I just did not agree. So like for me, that's what it means for me to be here, that I get to be free, that I get to like take control of my life, be responsible for myself, and also like whenever I can support my family.
Welcome to Money Travels, presented by Visa. On this podcast, we follow the money as it zips around the world, enabling our fellow humans to survive and thrive. And we talk to the experts who are building the tools that will transform the next generation of money movement. Access to money movement varies across the globe. For some of us, it feels pretty seamless and easy. But for others, especially people who don't have a traditional bank account, it can feel impossible to exchange money across large distances. How is someone from a small town in Guatemala who is paid in the currency of another country supposed to send money back to their family if their loved ones don't have access to a bank? Often the solutions are costly, slow, and sometimes even dangerous if you have to physically carry cash for miles. But if you can access the internet from wherever you are, why can't you just move your money digitally? In this episode, we're going to learn about financial inclusion from Luciana Alvarez Ruiz, whose work has a particular focus on women, and about remittances with Jairo Riveros, Managing Director for the Americas and Global Head of Strategy at Paysend, a global fintech company. We'll explore the differences between regions from Eastern Europe to Latin America and get a sense of the remittances landscape and how money movement can become more inclusive. At the top of the episode, we heard how important sending money home is to Hilda. But for her family, receiving that money isn't just a matter of tapping a few buttons on a phone.
My village is basically an hour walking from the nearest town where there's a bank. So that's where my brother would be wiring money. And there's not really a lot of like staff or people helping out. So the line would just round the corners and everything. And sometimes you would get to the window and then they would turn you saying that basically they run out of money and that you should come back next time. So it was a whole hustle, like, and literally people would like be standing there for hours, including my dad sometimes. So there was no like certainty that he would go and then he would come back with the money. Now the big bank has like ATMs, like maybe like 4 or 5. And that definitely like makes things more easy. My family usually receives that as cash. I don't think they have a bank account and they don't have like cards because the payment method back home is 100%. Even putting in the bank, like it's a lot of like paperwork and it's a whole process and it's like a professional and legal process. And a lot of the families and a lot of the people, like it's not something that they're comfortable or familiar or I feel like are going to be able to navigate. Trusting that it's going to be fair or the bank is looking out for the people is definitely not a thing. It's kind of like a separate entity of like who we are as people, and to like feel like we trust the bank more than we trust us. Like it's not working like that right now.
Hilda's experience is a common one in Latin America. To learn more, I spoke to Luciana Alvarez Ruiz, research manager at the Center for Financial Inclusion. What are the main issues that people in Latin America, in particular those who aren't as wealthy and or who live in these rural populations, face? Why is there a fairly high prevalence of unbanked citizens in Latin America?
So I would group the factors driving the high rate of unbanked population in Latin America into three buckets. The first one is the economic constraints, the second one, access constraints, and the third one, trust issues. And for this, the World Bank implements a global survey called the Global Findex every 4 years that allow us to measure the financial inclusion and access and uses of financial services. So when we look at the economic constraints, we see that the Findex survey shows that 60% of unbanked people didn't open a bank account because they lack sufficient funds. Another 60% say that financial services were too expensive to open an account. At CFI, at the Center for Financial Inclusion, where I work, we recently did a research in Guatemala, and many people told us that they don't have a bank account because they don't find it useful. Because these are low-income population, they use their daily income in full to cover their basic needs, and they didn't have anything left to put away into a bank account. Additionally, banks tend to charge users a high fee relative to their income. Considering that poverty in countries like Guatemala is 55%, a $3 fee for a simple bank transaction, like a deposit or a withdrawal, or receiving remittances, for instance, discourages low-income populations from using financial services. There is another issue related to access constraints, where we find that 1 in 3 unbanked adults don't have bank accounts because they don't have the necessary documentation or because the bank location is too far for them. So this is especially true in countries with large rural populations like Bolivia, Peru, Ecuador, Honduras, or Nicaragua, where people must travel for hours to get to a bank office or an agent to do a transaction in person. This only increases the economic costs of using financial services, as people have to spend money on transportation and often shut down their businesses to commute and make a simple bank transaction. And finally, there are significant trust issues with using financial services. 32% of the unbanked in Latin America say that they don't have bank accounts because they don't trust financial institutions. Indeed, 1 in 5 wage recipients ended up paying higher fees than they expected in order to receive their money directly into an account. So there remains a lot of work to be done to help customers trust financial services. There is also a knowledge gap in regards to using financial services. In developing countries, for instance, 64% of unbanked adults say that they would need assistance to use formal financial services. And this number is even higher for unbanked women.
Can you tell us what are the unique challenges that women face in particular in terms of their finances in Latin America?
I would say that the main barriers whenever women are trying to access to financial services are social norms, gender disparity in land ownership, and the digital divide and trust issues. There are strong social norms present in countries in Latin America, such as, for instance, the fact that women shouldn't be saving in a separate account than their husbands, or that women shouldn't have assets on their own, or that women shouldn't own a large business or be more successful than their husbands. These are some of the top social norms that guide women's behavior when using financial services, according to a study by SIGAP. A second and important challenge in accessing to financial services, I think it would be gender disparity in land ownership. And as I say, a common requirement whenever any person is applying for a loan is owning a property for a specific amount of time and having a water or an electricity bill with their name on it. So in Latin America, we know that men are more likely to be registered as the land owners, even among married couples. Finally, the third barrier that I would think about is the digital divide and trust issues. And here, we know that there are studies that show that women are less likely to feel comfortable using digital services, and therefore, they are less likely to use digital financial products. Indeed, if I can bring some statistics, we know that while approximately 8 in 10 women have their own phone in 2023, many are still reluctant to use the internet on their phones. And we know that also women are less likely to use internet on their phones compared to men.
Do you see now a landscape in which the acceptance of digital devices for these kinds of financial services amongst women in particular is increasing? And is it increasing rapidly? Is there still a long way to go? How do you see the trend there?
Yeah, the adoption of digital devices is increasing. And indeed, the COVID-19 pandemic allowed the expansion of the usage of digital devices in the whole world, but specifically for women. However, if we're thinking that bringing or providing devices for women will solve the problem of like women's financial inclusion, I think there are many other challenges or barriers that I mentioned that we have to address in order to increase their use of digital financial services.
One of the fintech companies working to address these barriers is Paysend. And we're going to hear from Jairo Riveros, Managing Director for the Americas and Global Head of Strategy. So what does Paysend do?
What we do is we're changing the way that money moves between countries for both consumers as well as for enterprises.
And so what makes Paysend unique in this space?
7 years ago, when we founded Paysend, we had a vision to bring to the market a solution that will tackle three main pain points that the consumers were having at the moment. Number one, time. Number two, cost. And number three, barriers. So what Paysend brings to, into the market is a solution that is instant in the transfer as much as possible to 190 countries right now. It is a solution that is also a very inclusive in the fees and the cost. And last, making it very simple. For us, the simplicity was a key element into it. That means with a few clicks. Now, how we were able to make all this possible? Well, thanks to developments like Visa Direct, which definitely came into play. Without them, probably the proposition would still be like many others in the cash pickup, expensive, costly, time-consuming.
Tell us about your role in Latin America. What have been some of the obstacles or the barriers, and how is Paysend working to solve them?
The North-South corridor is a $150 billion corridor, mostly in cash, originated in the United States and spread around countries like Mexico, Guatemala, Dominican Republic, Colombia, and continues. And the immigration is a reality that it only increases year over year, month over month. So definitely a need was there. How do you approach that need? We look at the market very carefully. A number of players in the cash-to-cash with rates over 10% of the value that you send, really unbelievably expensive, unbelievably difficult to make it possible. But at the same time, a population that didn't have much of a couple of elements. One, a bank account or some sort of a financial instrument that would allow them to participate, in this case, receiving funds, or not necessarily the adoption of smartphones that would allow them also to adopt wallets or solutions in them. We began to make it very simple and a service that is not heavily on your phone. So whether you have a smartphone of a few generations back, you still can do it. And that grow on digitalization began to happen very rapidly. Countries like Guatemala nowadays have more cell phones than inhabitants. The same will happen for Dominican Republic and a few others. So we began that process of localization of our solution. And more recently, we've been looking at how we can provide funds to those that are not bankarized. So we are embracing a product that we call Paysend Libre. And here is the concept. You send money, you download our application, you fund the transaction using your Visa card, and you select the country to send money. The person doesn't have a financial instrument, a Visa debit, to receive the funds. Instantly, one will be issued. A card will be issued in their phone, which will allow the funds to arrive in seconds. I can now do an online transaction. I can eventually find places where I can use my card, digital card, even if it's not a plastic per se. And we're also looking for ways that they could get cash out of that digital card. With Visa, we did a study where they look at individuals who were making a line in a bank in Central America to receive the remittance, turn around, and deposit the funds in their account. There's no need for that. But they didn't know that. The tradition of going and making the line for hours, receiving the funds twice a month, and making the deposit right away. So this is something that education and campaigns about your car allows you to participate and to be receiving is something that we're also working very heavily. So these are localization strategies that we began pushing not only new consumers who have never seen a digital car, those who have a bank account and a car, but didn't know that they could use it for this. And of course, making sure that the message is conveyed for the communities also in the U.S. who are sending the money.
And where did you start? Where were the first regions that Paysend operated in?
Our company is founded in the UK. Back in the days, 2017, we focused in bringing our solution within Europe and through the Eastern European countries. At that moment, the region, which had historically done a number of immigrant movement, moving, working in a different country than where you were born, eventually migrating to Western Europe, looking to support your families and loved ones. The banking system did not necessarily allow for a seamless transfer. In the first year, we were able to capture 1 million customers by bringing this solution. Immediately clicked, cards were already in place, but they didn't know that they could actually be used to receive a remittance in the car. But once we started demonstrating, communicating, it definitely began to grow quite rapidly. From then on, we already reached about 8 million customers worldwide.
And I should mention, I'm actually a citizen of Lithuania, which is one of these Eastern European countries. And I can attest to the fact that the culture there is one very much of entrepreneurship. There's a real hunger, especially among the younger generation, to, you know, be successful, to be mobile, to be a part of the financial ecosystem. So it makes sense to me that there was a quick
adoption,
exactly, of this tech. What else did you see about the culture in Eastern Europe that might explain the quick rise of Paysend?
I'm glad you are from the region because in a way you represent precisely what we were looking for. Traditional methods had implications not only in the cost associated with the transaction, but the challenges of having to go and pick it up, to move yourself to locations. No matter how many locations were out there, it definitely creates some inconvenience. So what we saw is that very soon, the understanding of digital funds became something that it was embraced by the region. This was also complemented by a rapid deployment by Visa and other networks of acceptance. The financial institutions themselves were also initially hesitant, but then very soon realized that this was new flows that they could see now. This means making possible for their cards, the cards that they issue, to receive the funds, because the bank itself plays a role as well.
One of the issues that we covered last season on Money Travels was the fact that in a war-torn area like Ukraine, for example, it can be very important to get money in quickly and very difficult. Did Paysend play a role in helping, you know, people in these kinds of situations get access to their money?
Absolutely. Ukraine has not only historically been a country where our solution has been very well received and adopted, but during the start of the conflict, it was a significant increase on new customers wanted to find the best way possible to direct funds into the country in many, many ways as instantly as possible. We had a fantastic partnership with Visa and other partners where we reduced the fees significantly to be able to allow the corridor and allow the individuals who have access to their funds. So everyone play a role, Visa Direct, our acquiring bank in the U.S. as an example, and worldwide, we ourselves as well. And it continues to be one of our strongest receiving countries in the world today. We are very glad that we were able to play a role, and we will continue to do whatever is possible, whether it's a natural disaster in some cases or whether it's situations that generates out of a conflict as well.
Yeah, one of the people that we talked to was a mother who had fled the conflict area and went to Canada. And, you know, of course, when you do that very quickly, you don't bring along all of the important potential documentation or other elements. And so she had a hard time figuring out how to get money from Canada back to her husband to help him out. But eventually these solutions kind of worked out. Have you found that there is a sort of maybe higher amount of skepticism in the Latin American population? Generally, if there has been a longer culture of cash exchange compared with Eastern Europe, where it's almost an example of digital adoption early on. I mean, even in Estonia, your health card, all of your information is now digital. And so there's like a real day-to-day understanding that the world is going digital. Is that different in some of these Latin American countries in which Paysend is working to provide services, where maybe people don't adopt the digital solution as readily? And is that because digital isn't just part of their everyday cultural experience, or is there some other reason?
Yes, it's difficult, but one has to look at, are there any signals that is changing? And I'm going to share one, Brazil. Brazil has an amazing rapid adoption of digital funds, more than any other country in Latin America, and I would say at the levels of what happened in Eastern Europe. With the introduction of PIX, now almost everyone in Brazil has access to an account. And by doing that, the ability to pay among yourselves, P2P payments, became within the country an absolutely a revolution, where individuals, not only merchants, but individuals could pay to each other. And as you probably have seen, the adoption of PIX is almost 98% now of the country, which is just unbelievably fast. PIX works fantastically, P2P, domestically. But how about cross-border payments or remittances? So that's where Visa Direct and Paysend working together come hand in hand, because we are allowing transactions to arrive to Brazil and be part of that dynamic, instant, internal payment system. So we have other countries that are looking at this. Mexico in particular is having a very good look at, could I replicate a PIX? Other smaller like Colombia is well embraced into it. Dominican Republic as well, just to mention some of them. And we are seeing another two trends that are very interesting. One is more a signal. I like to say signals become before a trend. And is the role that the receiver now has in the whole cross-border movement of funds. Historically, is the funding is the sender, the one who funds the transaction, making the decision. I'm going to send it this way because it's convenient, it's cheaper, or whatever reason. Now is the receiver who is beginning to have a say. So we are making an enhancement in our product to introduce request to pay, which is basically the ability for Maria to download the app of Paysend in their country and request funds from their loved ones just by using the phone number. What happens in that moment is that the loved one in the U.S. will receive a text, download the Paysend app, fund the transaction with a Visa card, and push it right away into a Visa or other means in the receiving country. And then parallel to that, more and more it's beginning to see a signal about remittances with a meaning. Remittances that provide more than just the transaction, that provide a value, is the ability for either the receiver or the sender to direct or make the request of the remittance for a particular purpose. I am going to pay my aunt's emergency bill at the hospital, or I'm requesting funds because I work at home and I need to go and pick up some material. So I'm not making the request only for the amount itself, but I'm requesting it for a purpose. And those payments go directly or fast from the sender all the way to the receiver. And that is creating a tremendous amount of connection that goes beyond the transaction. From one end, it's a little more secure because I know that the funds are going for the right use. Or on the receiving side, the ability to tell the relatives, please, I need this for this purpose.
So there are some uses in Latin America of digital money movement that are more readily accepted. So, for example, ride sharing or even, you know, gambling. But sending hard-earned income back to family still seems to be harder than some of these other kind of ways of moving money. Is that changing rapidly, or do you also see some other cultural changes or barriers that make that type of money movement more challenging?
It is challenging, but the changes are happening. We see the traditional players that are embracing digitalization, and they are embracing digitalization by working with PaySend and with Visa Direct, which is interesting. Rather than building themselves, they are coming to work with us because we have already developed the solution and the platform and brings an added value to them as it brings to all of us. That's one example. The other, continuing to educate, sending the message, this is going to take time.
In order to inform people in Latin America who may not know how to access the latest tools in money movement, PaySend is using a variety of methods, including airing TV commercials and integrating their products into telenovelas and sports programming. But that's a big lift, and not something they had to do in order to gain traction in other regions like Eastern Europe.
So all these initiatives together, and this will go for many years, it's allowing us to convey the message of, here we are, this is a new way, we want you to try it, we want you to experience it. It is a low-cost, inclusive value that you can bring into it. So it's a journey, and we are very happy to be part of this journey.
Are there any other initiatives that you want to mention?
Yes, there are a couple. One is together with the Partnership for Central America. This is a multi-corporation initiative who are all working together to promote financial inclusion and improve the lives of those in Guatemala, Honduras, and Salvador. So within that umbrella, we're also making recognition and messaging about how PaySend, it's a vehicle that you can send funds to your loved ones at a very low cost. Right now, for instance, it's zero transfers until the end of the year to any country in Latin America, all thanks to this initiative that allows it to be funded in that way. And as I mentioned, Televisa Univision, which we are using different channels of them to talk about PaySend, to educate the consumer. We want to get even more creative in 2024. 24 and 25, or even 26, with the World Cup coming here. Mm. I mean, it could be many things that we can definitely do.
Well, that sounds all very exciting. Jairo, thank you so much for being on Money Travels.
No, I love to travel. I love money. But most important, I love the opportunity to bring financial inclusion and financial education to our customers together.
Thank you for listening to Money Travels, and thank you to our guests, Hilda Tama, Luciana Alvarez Ruiz, and Jairo Riveras. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe or follow the show and leave us a review so that other people can find it. Until next time, I'm Andrea Viscontis, and this has been Money Travels, presented by Visa.